podcast folk gonna be upset with me. Cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. If I want to use for a subject today, I want to say, trust his power. And as I was sitting up here this morning, as we was praising and worshiping, and we was going forth this morning, and I was thinking about it, I knew what God had given me to preach. And then, like I said, when we got in here, got that news this morning, that's why I said that I'm probably going to be preaching more to myself than more than anybody else, that we trust his power. Because getting that news as we walked in here this morning, just kind of, it shook me a little bit. It's like, well, what's going on, Lord? But you know what? I'm reminded already, trust his power. Now, on this week, I don't know about you. You know, I watch a little TV from time to time when I get some time. In fact, pretty much all I see is maybe Netflix or one of those online type of things, because I don't get a lot of time to watch TV. But as you all may have known, you know, I was an athlete and I watched a lot of sports at that time. And I understand and I like seeing things and reading about autobiographies. As a child, I didn't like reading fiction. Right now, as an adult, I still don't really like reading fiction, but I will read a lot of things on how to create things in science and mathematics. But in particular, I love reading autobiographies. I like to understand how did somebody got how did they get what they have, and how was their journey, and what happened to them. So, you know, I read the autobiography of Malcolm X. I didn't read Obama. I didn't read T.D. Jakes. I didn't read, you name it, Winston Churchill and George Washington and all these different ones. Because what you find is that everybody in their journey, there's a particular crossroads that you have to make a decision. There's a particular thing, or there's a defining moment in every person's walk. And I'm here to tell you today that your walk with Christ is the same exact thing. That there's going to be a defining moment in your walk. There's going to be a defining moment in this ministry. There's going to be a defining moment in your place and time that it's going to turn things, and you're going to have to learn to trust the power of God. And what we find is, I was looking here, I saw that they had Colin Kaepernick. And Colin Kaepernick, many of you may know, is the young man who's been taking the knee in the NFL. And I remember Brother Alex and I actually got to go to a game, because he's a big 49ers fan, and we actually saw him take that knee at the Carolina Panthers game before he left the league, amen. And he had this story about himself as a child, and he's a biracial child, and he was an adopted child. So he had some challenges in the beginning, as it was already, being adopted by a white family, but being a black man in Wisconsin. I can tell you right now, I've been to Wisconsin one time, and there's not many people who look like us there, amen. So I can only imagine how he felt, and being raised by a white family who were good people, and they mean well, and they did well by him. But some things, you all know that if you are not part of the culture, you just don't get, amen. So therefore, like, it's some things part of other cultures I just don't get. So what I've learned is that I respect them and respect the culture, and I keep my place, amen. Because I don't know that some things, you know, we used to have this saying that said, it's a black thing you wouldn't understand. Oh, I'm dating myself. I know I'm back in the 90s now, but it was a black thing you wouldn't understand. Not that it was said to belittle someone, but you had to be in it, amen, to understand and know how it feels to be pulled over by the cops and know how you feel, regardless of what they said, and no matter how kind the cop has been to you, because you're thinking about past traumas and situations and circumstances that you've been through. And I'm reminded here on today that as I was looking here and I read and I listened to his story and all the things, and I found myself I could relate. And I found myself near the end, I cried. I did, because I felt his pain. Mm-hmm. And in particular, at the end, he writes this thing and he says, trust your power. And he's telling them, you know, this is why I understand why he makes the stands he makes now, because he's been making it really all his entire life. He's always been second. He even made the statement, said that even at birth, I was the second choice, because there was another baby that the couple wanted to adopt, and they couldn't get the white baby. So they were like, well, we have another baby, and it was him. Mm-hmm. So he goes on, he says this, and I ain't trying to spoil it, so spoiler alert for those who wanted to watch it. And he goes on and he says this whole thing. So at the end, he's like, trust your power. And that thing was eating at me all week, like, trust your power, trust your power. And but then God spoke to me and said, but your power is not your power.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is how the world operates. That when you don't have Christ Jesus, when you don't know him in the fullness of the Godhead, when you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have the power. So all you do is rely on self-will. And willpower is a very powerful thing. Don't get me wrong now. But it does run out at some point. Because when I run to my wits end, when I can't stand alone anymore, when I can't walk by myself, when I can't talk, when I'm ready to commit suicide, when I'm thinking about doing something crazy, it's his power that speaks to me then because my willpower is gone. And at that point in time, when I don't have any more motivation to go forward, when I don't see the circumstance working out, when I, Lord, it seems like my back is against the wall and I've been chosen second again and I'm ready to throw in the towel, I'm saying, no, what the heck with all of it, oh God. Well, I don't know, why does this keep working this way? He steps in and says, not my will, but my will, not my will,
mm-hmm.
but his will be done. And as I look at this thing, and I was thinking about this, and God simply said, trust in my power. Trust his power, because his power supersedes my power. And what he's called us to do here on today, church, is he's given us this thing called the power of influence. Now, there's some books out there that's called, you know, being the leader without being the leader. And I find myself in that position a lot. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not fun. Why? Because you don't get the glory. You oftentimes don't get the pay. But you find yourselves with the responsibility. You know, that they come to you instead of going to the to make this decision. They come to you instead of going to talk to this one or that one or the one who they are esteemed or the one that they have chosen. See, I'm reminded that what God allowed them to choose their king and they chose Saul, but God wanted David. And in time, what happens is what? We see that time and chance happens to them all, and all you got to do is wait a little while and you'll see that thing come to fruition. And look what happens. David comes to the throne. Because of David's influence. What made David great was what? Not only because he was a man after God's own heart, but we see all the things that David did because David understood that he can go back to God and what? And ask for forgiveness. But David, more than anything else, did one thing, and that was what? He trusted God and the power that God put inside of him. When David went before the lion, he said, well, I come to you what? In the name of the Lord. He didn't say, I came in you in the name of my slingshot and these five smooth stones I got and my great skill and all this stuff that I've been practicing. But I came to you in the name of the Lord. And he took the enemy's what? Own sword and cut his head off. And David and all the other battles, what did David do? He went to those little towns and he helped them and people got to know him. And what did they do? They start singing this praise. David's killed, Saul has killed his thousands. But David kills his what? Tens of thousands. And David wasn't even the king. There comes a point in time that David has the opportunity to take out Saul. What does he do? He says, not his anointed. I won't touch. Even if he's messing up, even if he finds himself off, but that's God's anointed. And anybody else who touches him, I'm going to deal with you. So what does the Bible say? That when the time comes that Saul what falls on his sword, and he tells him, don't let me suffer. The man comes in and he kills me. What does David do? He kills him. Because even at the end of the day, when he's down and he's out, that what? He is still God's chosen. And I'm here to remind you today that we are still God's chosen. You find yourself in place and you find yourself, you've done some sin and you got yourself in a backslidden state. You hadn't done everything that you're supposed to do. But I'm here to tell you today, once you got the Holy Ghost down inside of you, the Bible said what? That you will receive power. And that power is what? His power. And the power comes with what? Influence. So for those who are taking notes today, what is my influence? Number one, influence is pressure. Influence ain't easy. Why? Because I've already told you that I got to make the decisions and I don't get the glory, you know. And I know we in this day and time now that if I'm going to do it, then I want all of it. And the human side of me agree with that. But what I find is sometimes that God has us hidden just below the surface. So that when things come and things happen and situations occur, that what? Now we miss that. And now what? He said he'll take down one and he'll raise another. And it's he that what? That what? The Bible says that what? That promotion comes from what? Not the east or the west, the north or the south, but promotion comes from who? God. So he knows the time and the season. He has the power to what? Pick up one and pluck it off another.
So what? It's that pressure that we're under. Why is it pressure? Because somebody's looking at me. That means I got to live right 24/7. I just don't live right on Sunday mornings. I live right on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wait, do we get a day off? No, you don't. See, my wife has reminded me sometimes, because the things that I want to do and some of the things I want to aspire to do, she reminds me sometimes that, and this thing I forgot, the other power cord, that she reminds me sometimes that, hey, Peter, you just can't go out there and dress like that. You can't just go out there and walk like that. You cannot just look like that. You know, you all know that sometimes I'm working on cars and all kinds of stuff, and I look like I rolled around in a mud bucket, and I'm just going, because I'm just going to the store to go get another part so I can continue doing what I'm doing. But she said, well, Peter, you know, and you're walking around, and then you have a Safe House mask on, and you go into the store, and somebody said, Pastor. And I'm like, oh. And see, that comes with pressure, you know, because the regular person don't have to do that. See, when they see I got a doctor in front of my name, PhD in front of my name, that means they Google everything I say. And they hold me accountable for that. So if I get something wrong, y'all see me oftentimes, I tell you all, if I got it wrong, I'm going to fix it now. Because they hold me accountable for that. Because that DR in front of my name comes with another level of accountability. It's pressure. It's pressure on my marriage when sometimes we get in an argument and we might have had a fight, drag out fight right before we come to church. And I got to come up here and say, Lord, I need to feel your spirit, Lord. Shake me, Lord. I'm like Samson, Lord. I'm trying to shake, Lord. I want to feel your power. And I just don't feel it. And I come in those days and the church is dragging. I'm like, the church is going to go as far as, Lord, you allow me to take it, Lord. So that's pressure. No days off. Lord, no, Sister Pastor, Lord, God, preach 52 sentences. Lord, what am I going to do? And I work full time, and I this, and I that, and the things I want to. But God is able to. Yeah, Lord, pressure. And some of you find yourselves in the same situation, though. You're seeing your families, and you got this one, and this is going on. You got these medical bills, and you got this situation, you got this, and you got that. And what happens is you continue to what? To see all this pressure. But I'm here to tell you that He said, don't stand in your might. He said, when you've done all you can do to stand with your lion's guard against you. And what's that lion's guard against you? It's that Holy Ghost power that's inside of me. Lord, I found myself in times of despair. I found myself in times that, Lord, I don't know, but you know. The Bible said that when you come into temptation, that you pray, that prayer actually brought temptation. So I find myself in this place of under pressure. And I'm telling you that it is pressure, but you are able to stand. Because pressure has to come to test. You think about the pipes. They say, what, pressure bust pipes? Yeah, they only bust broken pipes, weak pipes, pipes that were compromised. But you and I are not going to be compromised. This is why they don't understand, Alice, why you do all the stuff you do. How does he have time to do it? That's what they ask. But they don't understand, because they don't have that driving inside of them like you do. See, they ask me all the time, you pass and you dance and you fish and you do that and you do this and you do, how do you get it all done? And I just tell them, I don't know, but it's the power that's inside of me that drives me to greatness, that drives me to what? To do what God has called us to do, to go forth and to know that it's not my will, Lord, but it's your will. So as long as you give me strength in my body, I'm going to go forth. As long as you give me air in my lungs, Lord God, I'm going to speak your word, because I understand, Lord Jesus, that you are Jehovah Jireh, that you are the one that provides. So if they took from here, Lord, that means that you have something else that you've set up for us to be able to take. So influence is pressure, because what? They're watching. And what I find is the ones who watch the most carefully are the ones who don't say anything. The ones who are doing all the talking, you ain't got to worry about them. You already know where they are. It's the ones that's out there. The ones that's out there. Because they're looking for authenticity. They're looking for authenticity. They're looking for authenticity. Sister Shauna, they want to know that you cry sometimes. They want you to know that you hurt. They see your child and they wonder, oh, she is so happy all the time. I know it ain't always happy. That's why the Bible said, well, we overcome by the power of our testimony. So that what she's gone through, she can share that influence with somebody else to say, look, baby, I'm telling you, I've been there. It's going to be all right. And it's different when somebody who's been there said versus somebody who hadn't been there say the same thing. And this is why God has to allow us to go through some things sometimes and allow this pressure to come upon us. Why? Because now we've been tested so that now when somebody else comes, we're able to show them how to withstand. We're able to show them how to go forward. We're able to show them that, look, you can overcome and be better. So the second thing that influence brings prosperity. Yes, it do. See, the Bible says that what? He will give us what? The wisdom to get wealth. People ask me all the time, well, how you get this and how you get that? It's his influence. Let me prove it to you. Have y'all ever been somewhere you did something or were going to buy something or something you had to do and somebody make this statement right here? I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to do this for you. You think that just happened just because it's you and you were looking good and you were pretty and you smelled nice? The Bible says what? He turns the king's heart whatever way he may. So he allowed what? That person to be touched because he knew that you needed it because you were tithe. Oh, come on, somebody. I told you all God allowed that 90 to stretch out to be 190%. This is how it happens. This is how you get the awesome deal on that car. This is how you get the awesome deal on that house. This is how you find your Gucci clothes and all this stuff at the secondhand place to pay $10 for it and realize nobody ever wore it. Come on, somebody. It happens to my wife all the time. You think that just happened by circumstance? No. It's the influence because God's people need to look good. So my wife and I, we have this saying, we can look like $1 million, don't mean we have to spend it. And we often don't. I wear suits that's 10 or 15 years old. But what? The influence that God has given us, what? Makes people do things for us. The Bible says like this. He said, "What press down, shaking together, running over, that what? Men should give unto your bosom." He said, men were going to do it. So then there have been people who've come up and given me things or given me superb deals on things. You know, I don't know why I'm doing this. That's that line. That's how you know when you're influenced. I don't know how I'm doing this. That's prosperity. People just wait. Well, I don't know why I'm going to get this raise because I ain't giving this to nobody else. So you keep this between us. Mm-hmm. Influence. You go ahead. You take the day off and we go out like we didn't see it. Influence. You go do what you got to do for your family. And if somebody else come in there, they tell them no. It ain't you. Influence. And how do you influence? By what? Working well under pressure. Because when the chips are down, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Well, it's 5:00. I ain't walking out the door. No, I get to the job is done. That's excellence. And we operate what? In excellence. So what? Pressure is one of these things. And pressure brings this away. How do we make diamonds? Diamonds are made what? Over time and pressure. You already got the goods. You just got to be tested. You just have to be tested. So in this way, he'll let men get into your bosoms. Y'all remember back when I was going to the basketball game, people used to see me on the sideline, on the side of the floor. Yeah, them like $800, $900, sometimes $1,000 tickets. I never paid for one. Friend call up, hey, you want to go to the game? Oh, man, I ain't got that kind of money. Don't worry about it. He will give you influence, and we see it throughout the Bible. Look at Joseph, second in command, Holy Ghost kid. Mm-hmm. Look at Daniel, Belshazzar. They even changed his name. Holy Ghost kid. Deborah, Holy Ghost kid. Oh, why ain't it you? I'm telling you, it is you. But wait, what are you doing? You over there, as soon as time coming, you over there hiding. Speak up and be accounted for. He got us. And this is why he reminds us. This is why I've given you this power. So this is why we read Matthew. And Matthew, he tells us what? Do you take a candle that's been lit and hide it under a bush? Mm-mm. He called us to be salt and light. So yes, you do stand out. Yeah, everybody's not going to like you. They don't supposed to. You're going to rub some people wrong. You kind of supposed to. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you're treading against the grain. If everybody else is going left, you're going right. Why? Because I'm listening to him, not them. And that's a hard thing to do in a day that now we're in what? A time of cancel culture. I told people, somebody the other day, I said, I get the cancel culture, I do. But it actually makes no sense. Why? Because what you're saying is that nobody ever changes. And I told somebody, I said, if I don't believe anybody can't change, then I need to get out of this business right here for sure. Because all we are is a bunch of people that change. I don't make the same decisions at 22 that I made at 22 that I'm going to make it at 43. I just don't. I'm time, maturity, experience. But yet we still want to hold people accountable for some of these things. Trust me, they probably already been held accountable on some other stuff. So you keep doing that, you ain't going to help anybody. And that's the spirit of the day. What it's doing is what? It's changing the standard. Because see, how you normalize something? Let me give y'all a quick math lesson. When you normalize something, what you do is you decide, okay, this is where we want to be. And whatever the average of this is, that's what we're going to take. That's what the word average comes from. So now this average becomes the standard, and the standard is what we measure everything against. So if I can destroy the standard, I can make it whatever I want it to be. So therefore, I can continually move it to meet whatever I want it to meet. This is why they don't want the Bible around. Because the Bible had always been what? The standard. So they said, well, I don't believe it. And this is why the Bible is very clear. It says that what? Without faith, it's impossible to believe God. The first thing you got to do is what? Believe. Because if you don't believe that this is the infallible word of God, then we have nothing to talk about anyway. Because that's the measuring stick. How do I measure if I'm doing good? I pull out the word. How do I measure if I'm doing bad? I pull out the word. I don't measure myself. Watch this. I don't measure myself against you. But that's what we're doing now. We're measuring against each other, how good we are in our own eyes. And we determine what is good. We determine what is bad. We determine what is false. We determine what's true. Then they came up with a term called fake news. Why? Because they try to what? Destroy the standard. So if I can let you think it's fake, then that means every time you see it, the first thing you question it, is it even fake? I remember I came up in a time that you never questioned if the paper was right. Because there was some integrity in there. So even if they did misprint something, they did what? They went back and they retracted it and they fixed it. So what are they doing? Destroying the standard. And I'm here to tell you today that God is what? Lifted up a standard against them. And it's called you and I. So if you take your candle and you put it in the bush, I'm going to tell you something. All it's going to do is burn the bush up. So you're always sitting on top and not destroy the bush. What do you mean by destroying the bush? What happened is that those around you, those around you get destroyed because of you. Remember Jonah? That he went through because of, they went through what they went through because of what? Him. Let me break it down to you. This is like when I'm upset about something and I come home and me and my wife have an argument. I'm not really arguing with her. It's just that she's rather irritating me at the moment because I'm really mad about something else. That's that candle being stuck under a bush and it's burning all the stuff around it. So now she's upset with me, and now I got two situations now. Now I'm still upset about that. Now she's upset with me too. And we do it all the time unintentionally. Why? Because we are this, what? You cannot be hid. So what? You want prosperity? Just do God's will. He said what? There will be nothing that he would not give you. The blessings of God are what? Yay and amen. That the blessings of God come what? Without sorrow. Sorrow means work. Think about that. Last piece here is influence is purpose. You just don't get the influence that you have just for you. Some of you are influenced in academia. Some of you are influenced in general business. Some of you are influenced in your communities and in the places that you surround and groups of people and fraternities and sororities. Some of you have influence in tremendous places, and yet what, you take it for granted. It's your influence that's going to help build this church. Not just because you look good or you smell good or you're so smart. It's your influence. Why? Because I've seen what you've been through, and you still haven't lost your mind. I seen how you financially went down the tube, but all of a sudden you came up. I seen how you raised your children and you didn't have any help. I need to know that. I need to tap into that, and they're just waiting for you to ask. Would you come eat with me? It might cost you a hamburger or two. Would you want to go down to the mall with me? Why people are at a place they're reaching out, but they're looking for what? Authenticity. Why? Because they're just so tired of the fake. They're so tired of those putting on to be church. They're so tired of those who are not authentic, who are saying one thing and doing another on behind closed doors. They're looking for the real thing. And we see in Hollywood, they're showing us every day, more and more, every day, the more they open that mouth, the more we know that they all fake too. And that's who we look up to. The Will and Jada Pickett's of the world. That's who we look up to. I ain't got nothing against them good people, but you can see that they very imperfect too. They got their set of issues too. So I'm here to tell you that you got somebody who is authentic in this space. You got somebody who's been pressured. You got somebody God has blessed. How do you not reach out to find out what is different? This is why I read antibiotics. This is why I read that stuff. I want to know what is different. Why them and not him? And you know what I find out? The Bible said time and chance happen to them all. That's what he says in Ecclesiastes. Time and chance happens to them all. So watch this. But the Bible also says that what? The steps of a good man are ordered. So if time and chance, the Bible is very clear about time. And we ain't talking about chronos time, right? Time chronos like what we did last night. We set our time back. We ain't talking about chronos, but we talking about God steps outside of this time, right? So he said time and chance happen to them all. So it ain't just chance, but it is chance because I'm walking how he told me to walk. So it's a chance if I'm not walking there, when I'm supposed to be walking there, I miss what I'm supposed to get. Time and chance happen to them all. So if you fall in with God's truth, if you're walking in his premise, if you're walking in his way, how many of y'all have seen that thing that they waited just long enough? They went just long enough, and all of a sudden what happens? They missed it. And I don't know about you, but you see that thing that, well, I don't want to spend my whole life doing this, and when my opportunity came, I missed it. And I'm here to tell you today, church, that we have an opportunity. Greensboro's right for the picking. We got an opportunity. They're telling us we got to find somewhere else maybe go. It's an opportunity. I don't know how you're going to do it, oh God, but Lord, we trust in you, but it's an opportunity. There's others who are waiting to see what Safe House really going to do. I know there's others who were sitting here when we left and we came out here and God put this on us and we started doing this work. I know there was others that said, oh, 2 months, 3 months. I know they've been waiting, but now it's working on 4 or 5 years. We're still here because we're waiting on this opportunity. See, I was reminded, like I told you, I read these autobiographies and stuff, and I was reading it. T.D. Jakes said for 7 years he did this right here. The biggest preacher in the world now, arguably, right? I'm just saying, and he was in the woods, we're in the city. Just got to trust him. God has a plan. And what is he doing? He's perfecting us along the way. It's going to be our influence that's going to get them to come. It's going to be our influence that's going to go. Why? Because they're going to see our lives. It's not going to be so much what I say with my mouth, but it's going to be what I do with my body. Not so much what I say with my mouth. I think everybody think we got to worry about this song. What I do, what I say, what I say. No, I don't care what you say. I'm watching what you do. What you do. When the boss made you upset, what do? I never forget, and I say this, and I'm ready to close. One time we was in a meeting, and I knew I had gotten messed over. And like I tell you, you know, sometimes when it's not about what you're upset about. I mean, what you're upset about is not usually just the thing. You know, you kind of lash out on other people. And I was in this meeting, and some things went on in this meeting. And I was really upset about something else that led up to this meeting. But in this meeting, my supervisor said to me, and this is so, it was to me completely out of character for me. She said something about, well, I'm running this meeting. And I clearly said back to her, I said, but you're not running this department. Lord, y'all forgive me sometimes. Pastor, and to be honest, it was true. Remember I told you, sometimes you have to lead without being the leader. Others were doing the thing, you just was entitled. We all knew that, but I shouldn't have let it come out my mouth. And I found myself, and you know, the thing is, and people don't help you because what they did is they made it worse. Everybody was like, ooh, like on the schoolyard, like somebody called somebody out for a fight. Everybody was like, now we're adults now. Adults are still like children. And they're like, ooh. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, great. What have I just allowed my emotions to get the best of me? That thing called discipline.
not discipleship, but root word,
discipline. But I didn't, but you know, in the back of my mind, I was like, well, I know I'm not going to get fired, but it still can't be good. But see, I had this thing called the Holy Ghost. And you know what the Holy Ghost did? Convicted me right there. Mm-hmm. And before we got out of that meeting, I asked to say something. And everybody was like, uh-oh. And I stood up and I apologized to all my colleagues, including my supervisor, for what I did. Was my pride bad? Oh God, yes. We all professors, and you know what? They do it all the time. And nobody cares, and nobody just walks out. And that's what they do. I put my pants on one leg at a time like you. And I do. But what's different? Bible tells me that even when you have crew leaders that you respect them, he says that in 2 Titus, right? Even if I ain't like President Trump, I had to respect the office, because one day you may be there and you want to be respected too. Them walking around talking about let's go Brandon and church people saying that stuff. You don't know what it is, go look it up. You'll find out real quickly. I had to go look that up. That's why you got to stay in the know, y'all. But people walking around talking about let's go Brandon. I'm like, what is this? I go, you know, Google. And these are pastors going around saying this? Watch it. The Bible said what? A wolf in sheep's clothing. So if a pastor can feel comfortable saying that, what else would he say to me behind my closed door? Not that he ain't human, but I ain't seen that one come out and say, you know what? Yeah, my emotions got the best of me. Because it happens to us all. I just told you it happened to me. And apologizing, you know what? I gained more respect that day than I probably did the first 7 or 8 years I was there at that place. Because number one, I didn't have to do it. But I did have to do it because I'm cut from a different cloth. We're cut from a different cloth. There have been times that we, you know, something, I used to get on my wife all the time, like, babe, you need to defend yourself. And now she defended way much. She defends herself now. But I remember there was a time when we first got, she was like, no, the Lord will fight my battle. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, but you supposed to fall that one, right? And we used to have this argument all the time when we first got married and we were dating. But I'm reminded there's some things you just got to be quiet and stand still and watch God work and do your part. And our part is what? To be that candle that's not here. So yeah, I apologize. Man, my ego is killing me. I was like, man, I shouldn't have to apologize because what I said was absolute truth, but it was the wrong place, the wrong time, and done in the wrong intent. So you can want to do the right thing in the right time and all this thing and then do it and then still mess it up. Because timing is critical. The Bible said, if I got all against my brother, what do I do? He's very clear about it. If I have all against my brother, what do? I go first to him in private. That's the word. And then if he don't hear me, then he said what? Then I go back and I get one witness and I bring them with me. And if he still don't hear me, then I can make a what? A public display. See, we shouldn't have to be in court suing nobody. If we suing somebody, that means we went through all them steps. That's what it's supposed to mean. Why? Because God don't want to, he don't want to be embarrassed by us. He didn't give us who we are. And they said, well, those are supposed to be Holy Ghost people. Those are people of you know, those apostolic folk. I always tell people, I'm apostolic, don't mean I'm busted, though. And see, we grew up in a time that people believe that because well, you were apostolic, you're supposed to look a certain way. So, yes, I do. I'm showing you, baby. This is the 2021-22 version and the future of this. That all that praying y'all were doing for us to do better, I'm the manifestation of that. You're the manifestation of that. That when we used to shout, we used to see the dust come up out the floors, we had the little fans in the windows. I'm the manifestation of that. My children are going to be the manifestation of that. When he said that, what? He's going to take the wealth from the wicked and give it to us? We are the manifestation of that. So why are we supposed to, why do we have to look like this? Why do we have to be like this? The difference is, though, is what? That attitude that I carry behind it. I'm not arrogant with it. I go change my tie, my suit. You know about my wife getting on me all the time. You need to take them clothes. Why? Because I know this is not mine. I don't even belong to myself. That we all what? Just actors on the stage and doing what he's called us to do to go where he calls us to go. So what? Trust his power. Trust his power. And as we go forward as a church, I'm trusting him. I'm going to turn down my plate this week because I'm going to trust him. Say, Lord, I don't know. What's up? This is where we are. This is what we got. What do you want us to do? You gonna work it out? We gonna stay here longer? Okay. You got somewhere for us to go? Show somebody, show me. Get somebody to call, pick up, do something. So we'll find out so we can go ahead and go to the next level in this and do what you call us to do. Hallelujah. I'm just so grateful to him on today. Grateful for our visitors that are here in the place with us on today. Hope that you have the opportunity to come back and visit with us again at another time. Amen. For God is good and he's worthy, 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 worthy to be praised.